Silence.
Oppenheimer.
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Pride Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 243 of Nerd Pride Radio. 243, this year the U.S. Army celebrated their 243rd birthday. I find this fascinating because, as noted last week, this year also marked 242 years since the Declaration of Independence. And, you know, the United States of America, the U.S. portion of U.S. Army, didn't actually start until 1789. But somehow the U.S. Army marks its birthday as 1775, 14 years before we even had a U.S. to put in U.S. Army. So a little further research tells me that, oh, the Continental Army was founded on June 14th, 1775. It was disbanded in 1783 after the Treaty of Paris, but the 1st and 2nd regiments from that Continental Army went on to become the nucleus of the Legion of the United States in 1792, and then later became the U.S. Army in 1796. Alright, it's a bit of a stretch, but alright, we'll let him count it. Whatever. If it makes him feel good, I suppose. Alright. Anyway.
What makes me feel good?
Oh my god, Aiden, what are you doing here?
Being on the podcast makes me feel good.
How would you know? It's been so long.
Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding. Ask me how I'm doing today. Go on. Ask me.
How you doing?
Well, now that you're here, I am awesome! My name is Mike Jones. I am a D&D/Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd. Plus, I have Aiden here with me.
And I'll fill in those other kinds of nerd.
That's right, because there's seven other kinds of nerd I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio. This is the place we go every week to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in our skulls anymore. As always, we are recording live from our Nerd Pride studios in Greyhawk. Before we do anything else, updates! Alright, last couple episodes, I kind of mentioned that I had a segment about Super Smash Bros. And I kept putting off that segment because, well, Aiden wasn't here. And Aiden was the one who originally talked about Super Smash Bros. On the podcast.
Is there a problem?
Yeah, there's a problem. I got a note immediately afterwards from a one Mr. David Short.
Oh.
Who said, no, Super Smash Brothers.
No, it's...
They are brothers. But Super Smash Brothers.
Actually, only Mario and Luigi are brothers, and Luigi wasn't even in the first one, so it's Super Smash Bros. Is how everyone in the entire universe pronounces it, except for the announcer in the game.
Oh, God, you just went right to the straight reveal that you're wrong.
What?
Oh. The game... Alright, here's the deal. Dave pointed out that it's supposed to be Super Smash Brothers.
Except it's bros, like the Mario Bros.
Right, it's Super Smash Bros. No, hold on. No, Super Mario Brothers, I was...
But bros.
I always said Super Mario Brothers
but
when
wrong.
I was younger. But Super Smash, it's Super Smash Bros. Always said Super Smash Bros. You guys
Everyone says Smash Bros.
Everyone who plays the game says Super Smash Bros. Except... And Jacob was the one who pointed this out when we brought it up to him. That, yeah, apparently the announcer, he says, no, of course it's Super Smash Bros. Why would anyone say anything other than bros? He said, no, of course, at the beginning of the game when the announcer comes on. And,
Super Smash Brothers!
So the game itself pronounces it brothers, but we're thinking the game is wrong.
But the creators of the game say bros.
Too late. Too late. You already spilled the beans. We gotta... Ah, so, the point is, yes, we understand that, that bros with a period after it, as it's done in the title, is technically an abbreviation for brothers. It's still pronounced bros.
I didn't know I wasn't supposed to make that argument.
Well, you weren't supposed to point out. That's up to him. I mean, like, Dave, do you have any other rebuttals? No, see, he doesn't. Therefore, we win.
Jeez.
So,
come
that
prepared,
was,
Dave.
That was what the whole discussion was about. And I still find the thing very funny. I cannot say Super Smash Bros. Or Super Smash Brothers either way without being very self-conscious about the fact that there's a debate on it. So,
Super Smash Siblings.
That's better. Now it's time for the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. This is the time for me and my wonderful son, Aiden, where we talk about whatever's been on our minds for the last week. If something strikes us as interesting during the course of our
busy weeks,
we add it to our master list. And the very best stuff on that list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when we record.
You lucky dogs.
Straight in that master list. Jeez, Netflix has a lot of crappy horror movies.
And boy, do they ever.
Welcome back, Aiden. First off, you missed your Uncle Kyle, who after your last Jeez, Netflix has a lot of crappy horror movies, your Uncle Kyle said, Aiden's reviews were spot on. I started watching I with one of my younger kids, I with one of my younger kids and turned it off because we didn't realize it was subtitled. He wasn't in the mood to read. Bedeviled was so bad and nonsensical, and you are spot on about the disappointing bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, there you go. He fully supported you. What do we got this week?
First on the list, these aren't in my particular order like they usually are because they're both, well, not both, but all three of them are equally bad.
Three?
I mean, for me at least.
I know. I brought an extra one to fill in because you only had three of them this time. You've only had a month. I get it.
So,
I'm just teasing you.
First off, we have Chernobyl Diaries. It's about a couple, well, three friends, two of them dating, visiting one of their brothers out in Europe for a while. And they plan to go to their next spot in Moscow. But the brother thinks, dude, I know this guy. He'll take us to Chernobyl.
Oh my god. What are we waiting for? I've got my girl here. Let's go to Chernobyl.
He was, the boyfriend was the only one reluctant to go.
Ah. What a wiener. Alright.
And so, they get there in this rickety old bus, and...
The Chernobyl bus.
They start exploring, and everything goes fine.
As you do.
And they're in the top floor of an apartment building, just going around. And then they get attacked by a bear in the apartments.
A mutant bear?
No.
A deformed radioactive bear?
Nope.
A bear?
Yeah.
A Russian bear?
I mean, presumably.
Okay.
There are wild dogs out there.
Scary.
And only until about a half hour left do they start throwing in what look to be radioactive zombies.
Wow.
But they're not actually zombies, they're just people with radiation sickness.
That's sad.
Yep.
What, 30 years after the event?
Yep.
So this was a bad movie?
It was a very bad movie.
Oh, that's so sad. Okay, you know what, enough of that.
It's one of those hopeless horror movies where you know everyone has to die.
Yeah, okay. I didn't watch it. I'm glad.
Mm-hmm.
What do you got for
Not recommended. Next up, I have Jerusalem. I only pronounce it that way because it's spelled with a Z.
Jerusalem. Okay. I'm excited about this one. This is the good one?
It's all right. The most enjoyable because it's so crappy.
Okay.
So there's a zombie portal to hell under the holy city.
Yes. Okay.
Period. End of movie description.
What? So it's a documentary?
It is a movie from the point of view of this girl's Google Glass.
Seriously?
Yeah.
About a portal to hell underneath the city of Jerusalem.
You never see the portal, but the dead come to life and turn into rubber demons.
Aww. Does the Google Glass identify them as zombies?
No, the Google Glass does recognize their faces and pulls up their Facebook profile in the corner.
Oh, now that is class. Yeah. I actually like that gimmick. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I would like the movie, but I like that gimmick.
Yeah.
That would be really cool.
I mean, it only does it to a couple of the zombies, but it keeps doing it to random passerbys in the beginning of the movie.
Uh-huh. Okay, that's interesting. I'll give you that one. And then, third?
So, a little backstory.
Uh-huh.
One of the first horror movies I watched...
Why are you putting quotes around it?
Because there's a whole classification of horror movies where they're not really anything, but that's really the only place you can classify them, maybe.
Uh-huh.
And it was The Cube.
I've seen Cube.
It's...
Is it Cube or The Cube?
I think it's Cube.
I don't remember. It doesn't matter.
Anyway,
I've seen it.
It's about...
It's technically a horror movie. It's more of a psychological thriller kind of, but it's a horror situation.
Cube is about a space made up of several rooms that are cubical that keep shifting. But there's a pattern to it so you can find your way out. Cube Squared, or Hypercube, the sequel.
Cube Squared, colon, Hypercube.
Literally, it's the rooms are now not just in the formation of a cube, but in the formation of a four-dimensional cube.
Right.
So time and space don't work, so there's no hope of finding your way out.
Oh.
No patterns, no numbers, no nothing.
That's not what Hypercube means. That's sad.
I mean, we did get to see some quantum sex.
Dare I ask?
Sex that transcends time and space itself.
Oh. So you mean like the kind of sex that Sting has?
Yeah, except, you know, Sting doesn't get to witness two floating corpses in the middle of coitus.
Oh.
It's gross.
How do you know he doesn't? Have you asked him?
I mean, last time I met, yeah.
Alright.
Do you see corpses when you fuck?
Wow, so crude. Okay, so ultimately,
Oh, I see dead people.
God. Is it? Are we saying then that all three of your movies were...
So bad.
Non-recommends?
So bad.
Okay.
I would see Jerusalem and Cube if you're looking to watch a crappy horror movie.
Okay.
I wouldn't watch Chernobyl Diaries under any circumstances.
Okay. The movie I watched was not on Netflix. It was actually on Amazon Prime.
How dare you?
I know, but...
You know the title of the segment, right?
But I'm just filling in. I'm the substitute teacher who really doesn't know the curriculum. So, I watched Willow Creek, which is...
A town here in Nebraska?
No, it's a veterinary clinic here in Nebraska. The Willow Creek Veterinary Clinic.
Oh, no, it's a restaurant that's just right down the road.
It's...
Oh, no, that's Whiskey Creek.
That's, oh, so close. Willow Creek is a horror movie about Bigfoot, written and directed by Bobcat Goldthwait. Okay. Bobcat Goldthwait goes to Willow Creek, which is near where the guys filmed that, the one famous Bigfoot movie where it's all grainy and Bigfoot is walking into the woods and looking back over its shoulder.
Does Bigfoot kill people?
Just wait. Wait for this. All right? And so he's going to that town near where that film was made. The film, which, by the way, has been debunked by the creators of it. That they've admitted that it was a fake. They talked about how, or at least somebody involved with it did. Talked about how they created the costume, how they set things up. So it's a fake film, but the town is still there, and they still have an enthusiastic tourist trade of people wanting to come in and see the Bigfoot town. And so everything in town is Bigfoot-themed, and there are statues of Bigfoot everywhere, and blah, blah, blah. All right, so Bobcat Goldthwait takes his camera crew to that town, and it's a found footage film. So it's a young couple, very Blair Witch style, this young couple. They're going in the woods because he wants to find the spot. He wants to see the spot. He wants to do interviews and find... And so they go in and they literally go and find local townspeople and then interview them as part of this film. Like, not actors. Like, it's Bobcat is filming... Bobcat is directing while his actors are pretending to be making their own little amateur documentary. And they are finding local people to interview and talk about And it's just weird. And ultimately, it's a found footage film, so there's a lot of shaky cam stuff that makes my head hurt. And so it wasn't a great film, but it was a good film. And there is a lot of build-up. This thing comes in three acts. And the third act is a masterpiece of filmmaking. For what you see on screen and how hypnotized you are by what's happening, I'm not going to give anything away because I really recommend that everyone watch it. You really should go watch. If you don't mind horror movies, you should go watch Willow Creek. It is worth your time for that third act. It is... I compare it to Castaway. Not in any way that it... No. Bear with me. In the movie Castaway, Tom Hanks spends like 45 minutes on screen...
Not saying a word.
Not speaking at all, and we are hypnotized by Tom Hanks. We cannot turn away.
I mean, aren't we always hypnotized by Tom Hanks?
Right. And then he spends a good half hour of the film where he is talking, but he's only talking to Wilson. He's literally talking to a bloody volleyball for a half hour of this movie. And again, we are hypnotized and cannot tear ourselves away from the
action. Okay, when he does it, it's a masterpiece, but when I do it, I'm a criminal.
Right. Exactly. So, I love that bit. So that's what I'm saying here is this third act, and you'll know it when you get to it, is what's going on screen. If someone were to describe it to you and say, yeah, no, this is what it is, you'd go, that's it? That's what? Why would you watch that? Because you can't turn away.
It's just an uncut shot of the woods?
No, you will have to go watch it. So for that third act, great. I loved this thing.
If I had access to our Amazon, I would.
Yeah, well, I can't trust you with passwords. So, I'm kidding. I gave you the Netflix password, didn't I?
Not the username, which is the part I needed.
Oh, I didn't know you needed the username. Sorry about that.
No, you're good.
Anyway.
You know, just announce it here over the air.
Yeah, why don't I do that? So, my point is, look, this is worth seeing. I recommend it. But also, in general, Bobcat Goldthwait is an amazing writer-director. Between this movie and Shakes the Clown was alright. That was his first film. Shakes the Clown wasn't bad. But if you haven't seen World's Greatest Dad, you go watch World's Greatest Dad with Robin Williams.
Yeah.
And it is... World's Greatest Dad is... If you're watching it right, it will disturb the hell out of you.
If you're watching it wrong, you won't get it.
It makes a point. Makes a lot of points, and it's just very, it's very powerful. It is a film that will stay with you for a while. And, very similarly, God Bless the USA, also written and directed by Bobcat Goldthwait, or it's actually God Bless America. God Bless the USA is a song. God Bless America is, oh my God. That's probably my favorite of everything he's done. And, let me make sure I've got the title right. Because it's been a while since I've seen it. God Bless America, Bobcat. There we go. And God Bless America is the story of a disaffected guy who decides to go on a crime spree. And if you see Bobcat in interviews about this, he said this thing got so far off the rails that at one point they're like, well, I don't know. Should we just shoot the baby? Yeah, what? I think we should. I think we should shoot the baby. You can't put that on camera, though. Well, why not? I mean, it really punctuates the scene, doesn't it?
I mean, in film, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, except that, in general, baby shooting is, I mean, this is supposed to be a dark comedy of sorts.
Are you going to tell me that that's not hilarious?
It works in this film. That's what I'm saying. And it is, again, yeah, it's dark and it's super disturbing, but Bobcat has a very unique voice and it's worth listening to. So,
man, it's weird. So whenever I talk in this segment, we never get off track like this.
Fine. You want to do the next segment? You want to be in charge?
What is the next segment?
The next segment is... Oh, my God! All right. Wait, it's time for a Nerd Culture Report. No, Gonzo, but you are very, very close. Listen,
I know exactly where this is going.
The Flat Earthers, the people in charge of the Flat Earth Society, all right, not, there's a bunch of morons that claim to believe in the Flat Earth, and they talk about, blah, blah, blah. All right, but the actual people that run the Flat Earth Society, they are in on the joke. They are absolutely 100% in on the joke. They understand that the world is round, and this is just a bizarrest, abstract statement that they're making to be surreal and to cause people to question things.
So the society doesn't actually believe it.
I do not believe for a moment anymore that the people in charge of the society, the Flat Earth Society, I do not believe for a single second that they actually believe the Earth is flat. Because,
and I know exactly the tweet you're talking about.
When asked, the Flat Earth Society was asked if they believe in climate change.
And their response was, I mean, of course it's real. How could you deny something with so much obvious evidence?
Exactly. Exactly the point. And where that comes down, all right, one, that's a great line, okay? If you've been maintaining for decades that the Earth is flat, and then your response about climate change is that, that's, my head is off.
There's another brilliant one that's really good that they also had.
All right.
So are other planets flat? No, we can see them. They're obviously spherical.
Right. So my point being, they are definitely in on the joke. Like, look, it's all well and good to deny that the Earth is round. Okay, that's fine. We're all having a great joke here. But climate change? Look, climate change is serious, and people might die, so no, of course we believe in climate change. Jesus, what? We're not monsters here. So, I thought this was hysterical. Because, again, when arguing with flat earthers, because there are flat earthers out there who actually truly believe it, because they missed the memo about the joke. Because that's the whole point of the Flat Earth Society, is they play it off as straight-faced as humanly possible. And it makes me wonder, are they laughing? Is this funny to them that they have this many people, celebrities even, who profess to believe in a flat earth? Does that entertain them? Or do they sometimes wonder if maybe they went a step too far? I don't know. I mean, again, like, and I know I bring this up a lot, but, you know, my brother and I had the old Animal Cast podcast, and we made some jokes in there that were, again, they were so absurd, they were so off the wall, that the point of the joke was, look, no one would believe that anyone in their right mind would actually believe what we're saying, all right? So no one is going to take us seriously just by the fact that we are stating such a stupid opinion, everyone knows that we must be joking, is what we said then. But then some of those things that we were joking about, no, those are serious beliefs taken very seriously by trolls and misogynists and horrible people alive today. And so therefore, yeah, our material's not so funny anymore.
I was talking to a guy I know who believes that the Earth is flat, and he thinks that people paced Christopher Columbus as an idiot because he knew that the Earth was flat and they were trying to cover it up. But that's actually not true. Do you know what Christopher Columbus believed the Earth was shaped like?
A burrito.
No. He thought that the Earth is much smaller than it is.
Yes.
Shaped like a pear, and had a, and I quote, succulent nipple at the top.
No.
Christopher Columbus actually believed that.
Hold on. You entertain the folks for just a minute while I search for Christopher Columbus's succulent nipple.
And I have a bit about a later portion of this conversation that I'm going to save for Nerd Rage. Because I actually got nearly heated at work.
Oh, really?
In this conversation.
All right. Oh my God, Columbus Day, the world is a pear. Huh. All right, the story is out here. I don't have enough to, I don't have enough time to actually research to see, all the ins and outs of this, but it's a story that's out here. So, all right. Interesting. Where are we next? Hold on. Oh, speaking of Nerd Rage.
Uh-oh.
Get the little ones out of the room. Make sure you're sitting down for this.
Nerd Rage came flashing back, And I just looked at him and went, "Rrr!"
That's right, it's time for some nerd rage. Okay, what do you got for nerd rage?
So, later in this conversation, this person is... He calls himself a skeptic so that he goes into every conversation with an open mind to possibilities. But he doesn't, because if I bring up facts that he doesn't believe personally, he'll say, "Yeah, well, a lot of that is people just talking out their ass." Like we were talking about the quantum entanglement of gravity and time.
Okay.
He's like, "Well, yeah, but quantum physics is just a bunch of people talking out their ass."
Really?
Like, except, no, it's all mathematics!
Oh.
It's literally all proven mathematics that work theoretically.
So what he means, in his very Trump-like fashion, is that, look, if it's something that I didn't know or didn't understand, then nobody could possibly understand it.
Right. It's just people talking out their ass. They don't actually know what they're talking about.
Right. If it hasn't been explained to me in a way that I can understand with my high school education, then clearly it doesn't really mean anything. Wow, that is so sad.
And so that's how we just shut down any conversation that I had. It's like, "Oh, well, you know, that's none of that's right because it's just people talking out their ass." It's like, but it's not.
Wow.
It's some of the smartest people to ever exist performing calculations that have been proven by other scientists.
Okay. As long as we're on nerd rage, I need to have a serious conversation about Howard Shipman. Now, at the moment, Howard Shipman is a purely hypothetical being, but he must exist. Okay. Let me explain. No, it's too much. Let me sum up. As you all are well aware, because you listen religiously to every episode of this, there is a person who works in my building who destroys toilets. Destroys them.
Oh, that's who you're talking about.
And I mean, on a daily basis. This is not an exaggeration. This man comes in and destroys, apparently his butthole is mounted at the base of his spine, and he blasts the back of, trigger warning, you know, if talk of feces bothers you, maybe now
trigger
is the time
warning,
to,
if
to
you
bow
were,
out.
If you were born with your anus on your neck, you may want to tune out now.
It's just, look, he just blasts the back of the bowl, and it's on there, like the worst brown stucco you have ever, it just, I am imagining, because flushing does nothing to it.
Are you talking about sticky shit?
Yes, and I'm imagining...
He visits my work, too!
I'm imagining that the housekeepers have to go in there with a frickin' chisel at the end of the day to get that thing clean. All right, and so as a result...
Michelangelo's David.
As a result, my office mate Yancey and I have a game we play where when it's a particularly bad day for sticky shit...
Howard Shipman. Howard sticky shit.
When Howard has had a particularly fine day, we try and get a picture of it, and then trick the other guy into looking at a picture of Howard Shipman's work. Okay.
Work as if it's a painting.
That is, yes, it is art. Alright, now, recently, we got a new employee. This employee, consistently...
Stephen Crapsworth?
I'm just thinking it's Howard Shipman in one of his many guises, okay? This guy is leaving, like, just a trail. Like a brown trail on
the... H.S. Itman?
On the back of every toilet seat he sits on. So clearly, it goes apparently... up his back, and thus, whenever he gets off the seat, it leaves a trail back there.
I am reverse bidet man!
And how he possibly doesn't know he's doing it, and thus doesn't turn around to wipe that off, because it's every time. Every time. All right. So one day I go in, and now the original sticky shit, he always uses the center stall. We have three. So he uses the center stall. Great. It's the narrow, awkward stall no one else likes using anyway. So that's fine. Let him destroy that one. All right? But then his cousin...
Stripe.
Yeah. His cousin Stripe has wrecked the good stall on the end, the big stall. All right? He's wrecked that one.
What?
So there's only one stall left to use. All right? I come in later in the day, and Stripe, seeing that the other two stalls were wrecked, decided, well, he can't possibly use that one because it's got his own stripe already on it. He's already marked that territory. So he goes and uses the first stall and leaves a fresh stripe on that one. I have no stalls to sit down on, so, I mean, I didn't sit for the rest of the day.
But... I mean, he had to use the urinals, so...
Right. Well, we don't have urinals. But, man, that would have been great. Anyway.
Literally, you're cleaning people's worst nightmare.
It is way too late to say long story short. Right. So, it's like the worst game of Shitty Mary in the mirror. All right. So,
Shitty Mary.
Yeah. And then, boom, there comes Stripe. Fortunately, Stripe, I believe, was just a new guy. So he was only... He was only in our area for 2 or 3 weeks, and then orientation was over, and we went through the people in orientation, and there were multiple guys, so we don't know which one it was, so we can't pin it on anybody, but, oh, that was terrible. So, you understand now my son Jacob works for the state of Nebraska as well. And he's been sending me pictures on a regular basis of destroyed toilets, and this is where he's the one that came up with the name Howard Shipman. He's like, what is going on? How is it every toilet I visit has at least one stall that's been destroyed? I mean, is it just a single state of Nebraska employee who has an all-access badge to get into any office he wants? And he just drives around the state, going from office to office, wrecking toilets and eating Taco Bell.
the great Howard Shipman.
Howard Shipman. Yeah, that's Jacob's story. So, the latest one he sent me is clearly Howard exiting a stall. Howard must have stepped on a turd because he left turd footprints going out the door.
What? Now, hold on. Is Howard Shipman just our stand-in name for anyone who wrecks a toilet?
Yes. Howard Shipman strikes again. Yes. So, My question is,
how do you not notice?
Somehow you're wiping and a turd was still stuck there and it just hopped out of the toilet by itself. And now you didn't notice that it happened, so you didn't notice the turd there and then you wound up stepping on it and I have no idea.
See, back when I worked at the movie theater, there were plenty of, Howard Shipman murals to appear.
Yes.
The worst ones are where it's an obvious handprint.
Mm. Oh my god. Alright, yeah, no. Look. Howard Shipman's worst work is where you can tell
that it was intentional.
It was like, well, the toilet paper was maybe too thin for him, or maybe there was an unexpected, who knows, but somehow he's wound up getting some shit on his fingers. And then you can see where clearly he got some shit on his fingers, so he just wiped it on the wall or on the side of the toilet paper dispenser.
But that's not as bad when it's a full handprint.
Yeah, okay, no, that one's intentional.
Or the ones where it just looks like he walked in, pulled down his pants, and then bent his body at a 90-degree angle and then just painted the wall.
Yeah. So...
Howard Shipman.
At least at the movie theater, there are kids there. There are teenagers, and there's little kids, and there's God knows what might happen. There's drunks.
Now, do the unflushables count as Howard Shipman's work?
No, that's just a power move. That is just to make sure everyone else working here knows who's boss. That is apparently that's a Russell Brand maneuver.
It is.
The the comics who used to work with Russell Brand said that he took a massive shit right before he went on stage every single time. And no matter what club they were in, no matter what was going on, he would go in, he'd take his massive shit, he'd go right out on stage, not flush. That was just a thing about Russell Brand, and everyone just assumed it was just a pure power move, because he doesn't have to. Sometimes he wouldn't even have toilet paper in the toilet, because, you know what? He's that good.
I'm talking about the ones that are so big that you physically can't.
Ugh, that's the worst. All this is so bad. Ugh. So
I am so sorry, listeners.
My point is, look, at least at the theater, again, could be drunks or meth heads or teenagers or little kids.
Or drunk meth head teenagers.
Right. Whereas all the ones that I'm talking about and that Jacob's talking about, these are, you can't get in here unless you have a State of Nebraska employee badge. These are people who are professionals working a goddamn job.
They're obviously not professionals at using the restroom.
Crapping all over a restroom that they share with other people and have to return to day after day.
It makes me fearful to know what their home bathroom looks like.
Oh my god, I can't imagine that they would treat their home bathroom this way.
Sticky shit just has like a stalactite.
Okay. I think we have hit this one hard enough. I am backing out of this topic now. We're done. Okay.
Is it when it's on the side?
Oh my god. It's so bad. Let's see. Do we have anything else? I think we have covered enough for one day. Let me double check. Yes, we have covered enough for one day. I'm gonna let this go. I've got some new podcasts I'm listening to, but that's gonna be really anticlimactic after Howard Shipman. So,
I've not laughed that hard in a very long while.
So now, we're gonna go for the pod-o-matic. Oh.
How dare you?
Aiden, I can't believe you pushed the button without checking. What were you thinking?
77.
Hot dog! This is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast, I bring out R2 and his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble. And he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. And where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you come in. You want to hear me haver on about something? Or Aiden, for that matter. Then send us your questions or topics by email, or better yet, in a private message on our forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. We will add it to the Pod-O-Matic list, because Pod-O-Matic is about whatever you want it to be. See how I stalled long enough to sort that list? That was perfect.
I mean, they could still hear the clicking.
No, they couldn't. They're not that good. hey, this one's from Kyle, said 77. Kyle says, if you could choose what the next Star Wars anthology movie would be, but it can't be Lando, what do you want to see?
Jar Jar.
No, I feel like I've answered this one before. But in case I haven't...
Boba?
No.
I mean, there is a Boba movie coming out.
Right, I don't want to see it.
Really?
Right. I want to see them go to some portion of the galaxy previously not really well explored that maybe is heavily features a race that we are familiar with but haven't taken a starring role. Right? And then we focus
like whenever Bugman terrorized Luke at the bar.
Right. Look, any of that. I just want to see a story that has nothing to do with the Jedi and has nothing to do with any of the established characters from any of the previous movies. I don't...
Just establishing some background lore?
Just building a new story in the Star Wars universe that doesn't have to be about saving the universe. It doesn't have to be about good versus evil. It could be a much more nuanced story, but uses this incredibly rich background.
A Star Wars universe rom-com?
Yeah. That's fine. Just tell me a story. That's what I want. And it doesn't have to be... Because the problem is when we did Solo, and before that when we did Rogue One, we know how they have to end. We know what position the characters have to be in after this. We know where they go.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, yeah, Boba Fett... whatever. Lando, you're gonna...
I mean, we don't really know where Boba Fett's gonna land by the end of the movie. I mean, we know that maybe after the movie, he becomes a bounty hunter.
Right. All I know is that I just...
I mean, a Django movie might actually be better, but...
Yeah, but a Boba Fett movie we've seen Boba Fett as a kid, and then we've seen Boba Fett as a bounty hunter who then dies. So we know that in telling this story of Boba Fett, yeah, he can have adventures, but we know that by the end of the adventure, he lives and he's on his way, or is already, a bounty hunter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, well, and we also know that he's going to have his ship, Slave One, so probably a Boba Fett movie is going to involve him being a good guy who eventually becomes amoral and turns to bounty hunting and acquires his ship.
Scratch everything you just said. I need a movie about a squadron of stormtroopers stationed on a random-ass planet.
Is it a horror movie?
No, they're just dudes. Have it be whatever you want.
Oh my god, I would love... No. God, I would love to see a movie about stormtroopers getting picked off one by one in a alien-style horror movie.
Yeah?
That would be awesome. Yes, that would be really good. Make them the heroes, and then the clone troopers just get picked off one by one.
Because I feel like our boys in white are not fairly represented in these movies, in this terrorist propaganda, as it were.
That is entirely possible. All right, real quick, one of the podcasts I was going to talk about and didn't, but now it's become relevant. Mission to Zix. Zix is spelled Z-Y-X-X. Mission to Zix is a sci-fi podcast. It's an ongoing story, and it is wholly improv every week. So it is an improv tale that just keeps building on itself as they go. And I don't know what possessed me to listen. I didn't think I was going to like it. I really like it. But one of their ongoing jokes is the Federated Alliance, which is their equivalent of the Empire. The Federated Alliance has clone troopers, and it is cloned light infantry something-something trooper, but it's Clint is the acronym for it. So they are Clints, and all of them are named Clint. Clint 4471, Clint 4479, Clint. All right. And the ongoing joke about the Clints is that they are all super catty and really bitchy towards each other. And so whenever you meet a Clint, it's like, oh yeah, no, we heard about this place. Oh, who'd you hear that from? Oh, the guy in orbit, Clint 4413. Oh, that guy. God, doesn't he have such a punchable face? Yeah, he has your face. But yeah, no, I know that, but I mean, like, but it's not exactly the same. I mean, have you seen his face? Oh, God. He's such a dick. Every Clint is like that, and it's an ongoing joke. I love that. So, look, Mission to Zix, it's funny, it's stupid. Go listen.
Okay, no. Forget a group of stormtroopers. I want to see a group of clone troopers find their individuality.
I'm all for that. You know what I want to see?
That would make a good movie.
I want to see a Star Wars movie about Force users that have nothing to do with the Jedi Order.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see some other, whether it's a religious tradition or whether it's a non-religious approach to the Force, but I want to see Force users that have no connection to the Jedi whatsoever. Like, a completely different way of approaching the magic of this universe. I would love to see that story. And again, quit tying it back to existing characters. We don't need that. You have this huge world, and you can create anything you want. All right? You have this huge world, and you also have, what, 300 novels to build from? I mean, my God, there's so many.
Actually.
There's so much stuff out there that can be inspiration for what we're moving forward with.
Look, I'm just upset that Starkiller's no longer canon.
Yeah, well. That's a good thing.
How dare you?
It really...
Galen is one of the most powerful Jedi to ever exist.
Yeah, for Darth Vader to have an apprentice, it really throws off a lot.
Not really. It's the guy who assisted Vader in killing all the Jedi.
Yeah, but he's so uber powerful. I mean, like, ultimately, he's the most powerful force
ever. He's then killed and brainwashed, so he's not in the way anymore.
He came from a video game.
That was once canon.
A video game. Ugh. Yeah, you know what? Look, I'm only vaguely passing familiar with this character, and I've never played the game in question, so therefore, I think I have the authority to say he's stupid.
Okay. Let me bring out a couple characters I know of from the, non-canon Star Wars lore now, which was canon before Disney.
Okay.
Let's try Luke Skywalker. That's L-U-U-K-E Skywalker.
Really?
Yeah. He's Luke's evil clone.
Oh. Okay, that's pretty bad.
Ooh, how about Darth Millennial?
How about,
literally, all Darth Millennial is an old man with a third eye on his forehead.
Wow. How about, Indiana Jones?
What?
Indiana Jones. It was from a Star Wars comic where, the Millennium Falcon winds up crashing, in a forest somewhere, and Han eventually dies of old age, but Chewbacca is still around in this forest where Indiana Jones comes across him and mistakes him for Bigfoot, and they try to shoot him.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Also, Chewie ate people.
I know! My God, Chewie ate people! It's terrible. That's the worst. Alright, and apparently, Wookiees are not supposed to be vegetarians. They are omnivores. So, it is very, eating meat is a very real possibility for Chewie. But, you know what? They just kind of gloss over the whole idea that Chewie ate people. That's wrong. Or the troopers that threw Han into that pit were strongly under the impression that Chewie ate people. Alright? Like something had happened recently that they were convinced he ate people. So either you gotta explain that or you have to live with the idea that Chewie ate people. I don't get it.
You do what you gotta do.
No. Chewie is the most one of the most noble characters in all of Star Wars.
Are you saying that vampires aren't noble?
Yeah, that's clearly what I'm saying.
Oh no, I'm thinking nobles.
Oh.
76.
76. Oh man, I was right there too.
Podcasting.
76. It's from Kyle.
Hi, Kyle.
Kyle says, finish the pattern and solve for X. Seriously? Line 1. 12, 22, 45, 72. Line 2 is 3, 23, 48, X. What? This is silly. All right, hold on. Let me solve. This is not going to happen. You know what? I don't have enough time on the podcast. I even tried cheating. I plugged the numbers of the first line into Google, and it spit back that Matthew 12, 22 through 45 was the story of Jesus and Beelzebub. So there you go. But no, I have no idea what the answer to this is. I am ashamed. Maybe later.
74.
74. Is it locked? Only got the 70s.
Weird. Not locked anymore.
Hey, random chance says that that's going to happen once in a while. If you could, oh, this is from Kaz. Kaz says, if you could go to a big media gala like the Oscars or the Grammys, which one would you go to?
The Razzies.
I was just going to say the Razzies. Because, I mean, look, the Razzies are not always awesome, but I do appreciate anyone who actually shows up to accept their Razzie and and is classy about it and plays along. I think that is awesome. That shows some really, I don't know, really good humor, the ability to laugh at themselves. And, I mean, this was, God, who was it that won a Razzie and an Oscar in the same year for two different movies? Halle Berry. That was it. Halle Berry won for Catwoman in the same year that she was up for an Oscar and for a different movie, obviously. And, she showed up to the Razzies and was in good spirits about it and made jokes, and it was just, it's very entertaining. So,
mm-hmm.
I'm all on board for that. Go ahead.
08.
08. 08 comes from Kaz again. This is gonna have to be our last one. Kaz says, Miller Coors may return Zima to the beverage landscape. What regrettable adult beverage do you no longer drink? Okay, I don't understand how those are connected because Zima's awesome.
What?
Zima. It's a clear malt beverage that is not a beer. Because normally when you have a malt beverage, it's usually some kind of beer, ale, whatever it is. But Zima was an alcoholic drink that was perfectly clear, and it was made, it was a malt beverage. That's how they advertised it. And Zima with just a little bit of lime in it was spectacular. I love Zima. I would still drink Zima if I could get it.
That sounds like some kind of rare disease.
Last time I had a Zima was 4th of July before my kids were born, so probably 25 years ago. It was maybe the first or second year we were married. So last time I had a Zima, and I miss it. They still make it in Japan, but yeah, supposedly they're bringing it back. I would love to see Zima come back. That's great stuff. Now, as far as regrettable alcoholic beverages, I can't drink tequila, but that's
Kraken?
About it.
Would you drink?
I wouldn't drink Kraken again, but I'm glad I tried it once. Oh, that stuff is terrible. Kraken tastes like absolute ass, and it's like 140 proof?
It's 94 proof.
Oh, is it 94? Is that all it was?
But, I mean, it'll still get you on your ass.
Yeah, and it is rough. Ugh, Jacob loves the Kraken. There's some manly endurance test thing that he enjoys about drinking Kraken. Not a chance. Ugh. Tried it. I had a couple of shots. I don't need to do it again. So, all right, and then that is it. So,
34.
Close enough. 34 is from Ronster. Ron says, "What do you want to do on your 50th birthday? What do you want to do on your 50th birthday?
Die.
What?
No, I'm kidding.
You won't be 50 until 2048. I mean, you got plenty of time.
I want to go skydiving.
On your 50th birthday?
Yeah.
Yeah. George Herbert Walker Bush went skydiving on his 70th birthday, so, you know. For my 50th birthday, you know, it's 2 years away.
Is it? Is that all it is?
Year and a half now, yeah. I wouldn't mind trying a replay of my 40th birthday, except this time actually have everybody show up.
And have you all play Ghosts and Goblins together.
Instead of all of you ditching me at the last minute. So yeah, I wouldn't mind having a big get-together, you know, get a giant cabin that can hold a bunch of people and get everybody who wants to drive in, and we'll all split the costs and just have a great time partying and gaming. But I doubt that I'll actually try that. Because that'll also be the same year that, no, that's not Noah's first year at Gen Con. That'll be in between years. Anyway, we'll see how it all pans out. So
I'm just saying, if you tell them I'm going to be there, everyone will show up.
That's true. Aiden, if we have such a party, Aiden will be there. All right, and then what would you like to do for your 50th anniversary?
That you're assuming that someone has to love me first.
No. Could be your 50th anniversary of many events. You doesn't have to be. I mean, what about on your 50th anniversary of the first time you played a Zelda game? That'll happen when you're 53, right? So.
No.
Okay.
I played Ocarina when I was 2.
See, there you go.
I mean, not well, but I tried.
My 50th wedding anniversary will be when I am 73 years old. So, what I would like to do for my 50th is I'd like to be alive with my spouse. I would like both of us to be happy and active enough that we can take a huge trip somewhere, like we took a huge trip for our 25th. I would love to do that. Or alternately, I wouldn't mind having family and friends just show up and we just have a big celebration and just get everyone together, all my kids and grandkids and I guess even further down the line than that if they're really ambitious. And I'll just be together. I would love that. So, all right, and now we really are done. So now we turn over to GLaDOS, and she gives us a recap of this week's episode so far.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
"No way."
And then I was all, "We pretended we were going to murder you."
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2018 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. My bumper music this week was, I didn't have any. But if I did, all the songs I use are available on iTunes. Check them out, buy them, enjoy them. Wouldn't put them on my podcast if I didn't love them. If you want to help out Nerd Pride, subscribe to this podcast in iTunes or whatever podcatcher you use. And then write us a nice review or a shitty review, as long as you put in the 5 stars, because that's what makes the difference. If you want to do something super nice for this podcast, recommend it to your friends. If you're enjoying it, why wouldn't you spread the word and let other people enjoy it as well? What, are you some sort of hipster who wants to keep it all to yourself? No, you don't do that. You spread the love around. That's what you do. Word of mouth. It's my bread and butter, people. Don't forget, this podcast is a proud member of the Nerd Pride Network.
Which now, we have a network again?
Oh, yeah, you haven't been here in a while. Yeah, it now includes me and Aiden with Nerd Pride Radio, but also includes Sawa and SBH with their Bicoastal Disorder podcast. Awesome.
And I don't mean to tease anything or, you know, whatever, but you may be getting another member to the network.
That would be cool.
I'm not implying anything.
Oh, yeah, because you clutch your pearls. All right. Anyway, quality nerd podcasting from quality nerds. That's us.
I thought it was quality nerd people.
Nope. We changed it. That's how bicoastal disorder. Sawa read it off as quality nerd podcasting from quality nerds, and I liked it way better. So I kept it. Remember, I am always looking for you listeners to do my work for me. Don't forget to send me questions and topics for the Podomatic. Watch out every week on the forums and on Facebook for listener betrayal. And if you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, send it to me and save me all of that grueling research.
It's literally, you just do a quick Google search for the number and then spend 30 seconds. It's not
as tough as you. No. You try it. Go ahead. You do 244, 245, and 246. Go ahead and get me those facts and make them different from all the facts that we've used before.
Okay.
Okay. My contact information, mike@nerdprideradio.com, nerdprideradio on Twitter, facebook.com/nerdprideradio. But to be completely honest, the very best way to talk to me, come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. Send us a message. We're going to hang out together. We will become best friends in the world. We'll have drinks, we'll go dancing, hang out, watch
a
game.
You're kind of killing my steez here.
We'll
have fun.
Now it is time for listener betrayal. Before I start recording every podcast, I go out to my forums and to Facebook, and then Aiden sends out to his platinum member list, and we say, guys, we're recording. Anything you want to send us, we will read off at the end of the cast, which is what we're doing right now. So, straight into it. Strangely, on Facebook, I have absolutely nothing this week. That's not strange. That happens. But I do have responses to Facebook from last week's listener betrayal. I posted up that we were recording, and then I got finished, and I said, okay, done. And then after I posted done, Kyle says, my question was, what's your favorite palindrome? Kyle's response was, yo, what do you think of my bathroom reviews? because they were on a road trip, and he does this bit when they're on a road trip where they go and they actually do reviews of the various gas station bathrooms that they encounter along their way. And I personally find them very funny, especially when they find a bad bathroom. A mediocre bathroom, a good bathroom, not all that entertaining, but a bad one, as witnessed by our Nerd Rage segment this week, bad bathrooms, funny. So, not bad. And then to answer the question about favorite palindrome, he said ABBA. And then Pat posted up and said, Taco Cat! No, wait, I take that back. Weird Al's Bob. All right, see? So, but nothing current. I suppose I'll get this week's Facebook next week. But I also posted up on my forums, and in that one I said, quick, would you rather be the best player on a horrible team or the worst player on an awesome team? Kyle says, best player on a horrible team. And I'd work with them to make us all better. But here's the thing. With that one, I'm considering that if you are the best player on a horrible team or the worst player on a good team, you could be the same skill level and be both of those things. I mean, heck, it's entirely possible that as the worst player on a good team, you could be the better player than your other alternative. And so, yeah, I didn't know if it was, where was I going with that? Damn it. I sidetracked myself into a sidetrack, and now I can't remember what I was going to comment about it. Because I had a whole thing worked out of which one I'd rather be, and now I can't remember what it was. All right, anyway, I'm drunk. Next up, Kyle replies with, we were playing a drinking card game while we were camping. The premise is that you flip one card, which has a category, and then you flip the second with a letter on it, and the person who shouts out an answer that begins with the right letter gets a point. So, the category, fictional character you'd like to bang. The letter, H. Me, at the top of my lungs, Hermione! I got the point, but I'm not sure it was worth it. Yeah, no kidding. You're terrible. You don't say that out loud. Jesus. Yeah, Emma Watson. Fine. Emma Watson is a legal adult who is very smart and talented and beautiful and all of this stuff. And that's perfectly acceptable.
Hank Hill!
Would he get the point for Hank Hill? I'd give it to him. All right. Anyway, Kyle then says, there's an old adage that says, oh wait, hold on, did he ask something else while he was up there? Oh yeah, he said, what's your favorite mathematical function? The Riemann function? Okay. Kyle then says, there's an old adage that says, aim for the moon, and even if you fail, you'll land among the stars. That sounds like a real constellation prize. Uh-huh. Oh, and it's also not even close to true, because if you're aiming for the moon, which is only 240,000 miles away, and you miss, you're not landing among the stars, which are, at their closest, 4 or 5 light years away. This just doesn't even make any sense. I mean, aim for the moon, and if you miss, you'll just wind up dying in the cold vacuum of space. That's really the more accurate adage. So, And then,
when winning is the only option.
My buddy Dave posts up, and his response is, worst player on an awesome team. It would make me work my ass off to get better.
Not a bad answer.
Yeah, not a bad answer either. Okay. And then, that's it. Done. Do we have anything from the Platinum members?
Oh,
have they let us down yet again? I've got nothing from them for 3 weeks.
We have a couple.
3 weeks.
All right. The first one's from Sam.
Okay, was there a question?
Yes. I sent out, hey, Platinum members, I'm back and better than ever. If there's anything you'd like to say or have us read off, now's your chance. We will read off anything and everything you send to us. This week's question, what are some things that you shouldn't say during a marriage proposal? Sam's response is, gets down on one knee and opens a box with a doctor's note. Will you have AIDS with me?
Oh, that's terrible.
I'm required to read it off.
I understand that. That's fine.
The next one's from Kyle. Hi, Kyle. It's, face or gut.
That was your marriage proposal, wasn't it? Imagine, get down on one knee, you come up with, you've got the ring on the outside of your knuckles, and you just come up with, face or gut! Okay.
The next one's from Tim. Hi, Tim.
Hey, Tim.
the wrong name is a good start.
Ooh, yeah. I'll give you that one.
Will you marry me, Susan? Mary. You're Mary. Sorry. Whoops, I am. Whew!
Don't know where my head's at these days. Alright.
The next one's from Emily.
Sweet.
Emily. Emily says, this applies to most things men present you with. Aw, it's so small.
Oh, she's funny. Who's next?
The next one's from Emily.
Oh, hey, Emily.
Emily says, you are now legally bound to me. All right, the next one's from Emily. Hi, Emily.
Hey, Emily.
Little psych.
Okay, see, she's playing this game right.
Alright, the next one's from Emily. Hi, Emily.
Hey, Emily.
I got you this ring, but we might have to get a bigger one.
Okay.
The next one's from Emily. Hi, Emily.
Hey, Emily.
You were on your knees when we met, and now it's my turn.
No! What did... You're right, these are terrible proposals. I am shocked. Shocked and horrified.
Alright, the next one's from Emily. Hi, Emily.
Hey, Emily.
I'm doing this in public, so you're compelled to say yes.
Okay, that is the actual subtext of so many proposals.
Oh, the next one's from Emily.
Look, I spent $2,000 on a Skywriter and a guy to parachute down here with the ring, so you're going to have to say yes at this point in front of all these people.
The next one's from Emily. Hi, Emily.
Hey, Emily.
So you were my second choice.
Oh,
the next one's from...
Combine that with some of the others. Yeah, you may have to get the ring resized, but you weren't my first choice. See, that would be...
The next one's from Emily. Hi, Emily.
Hey, Emily.
I think I'm gay, but we should try anyway.
Once again, the very real subtext to many marriage proposals.
Ooh, the next one's from Emily.
Oh.
Hi, Emily.
Emily. Oh, okay, I know Emily.
Yeah.
Got it.
I'm only doing this so we can have sex without sinning.
Once again, he's very real.
Oh, the next one's from Emily. Hi, Emily.
Hey, Emily.
My roommates and I came up with those. Say hi to Jess and Dylan. Hi, Jess and Dylan.
Hi, Jess and Dylan.
This is their first time contributing to the show. Yes, it is. And we thank
God,
you.
You guys
for
did
it.
A great job. That was really good.
All right. The next one is from John.
Oh, hi, John. I know. In fact, I just saw John.
John says you should probably get the name right. Could end badly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes.
The last one is from Stephanie. Bringing up an ex or talking about children, probably not the greatest idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Talking about outer space will give you extra points, though.
Yes. God, I wish. Now, that would have been so cool.
And that's the end of our platinum list.
Wow, all right, that was... Kudos to you for a great question, because I got some awesome responses out of
people. Oh, yeah.
So, very cool. All right, well, that's it. You got anything else to say before we sign off?
No, I'm glad to be back.
I am glad to have you back. You guys are awesome. Thank you for listening. We appreciate you coming around, and hopefully you'll join us again next week. We love you. It's been awesome. Goodbye.
Goodbye.